The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Here's a listener who says to 0874100102, I'd love to see Bernie Sanders get in, but is he not a bit old? He'd be 79 at the start of his term. Marion McCone, I don't want to sound in any way ageist, but is that going to be an issue if he runs for the Democratic nomination?
Hello, Matt. And you know, I don't want to sound ageist either, but I covered his last campaign, and by the end of it, he was exhausted. I don't think anyone's too old if they're fit and they're healthy.
So like our own Michael D. Higgins here in this country.
Indeed, exactly. So,
except it's a different type of job, isn't it?
Well, it's a very different job, that's for sure. Look, I really think that Bernie Sanders, I said, like, just having observed him last year, in 2016, where he really did ignite the country and he caused huge excitement among the millennials, and all that is true. But by the end of the campaign, he was, and this is just the primary campaign, he was visibly, it had taken a visible physical toll on him, and I think a mental toll. He was getting his words mixed up. He just seemed really, really tired. So, you know,
That hasn't stopped Donald Trump. He gets his words mixed up all the time too.
Yeah, but you know what? Donald Trump, say what you will about Donald Trump, he has a phenomenal amount of energy for a 73-year-old man. And he really had, he was really, on that campaign trail, you couldn't exhaust him. He just kept going and going and going.
Hang on, all the executive time he takes now?
No, but we're talking about the campaign trail. A presidential campaign trail, I can tell you, because I've done four of them now, covered four of them, is one of the most physically and mentally exhausting things I think a human being can undertake, because every day you are under scrutiny, every second of every day, you're on the road non-stop. The level of travelling, it really takes a toll. Donald Trump was fine. He sailed through it. So he does, whatever his other criticisms may be, he does have a huge amount of energy, and it really stood well to him in running for president. Bernie Sanders didn't strike me as having that same level of physical and I think mental energy as well. As I said, I could really see the toll it had taken on him by May, June.
Cal Thomas, I bet that your issue with Bernie Sanders will have nothing to do with his age. It'll be his socialism.
Yeah, it's the old ideas of socialism, but I agree with Marion. Joe Biden, the former vice president, who's still thinking about getting in, is only 1 year younger, but I would say he has a lot more mental and physical energy than Bernie Sanders. But here's the thing. Things have evolved in the Democrat Party to the point where all of these other announced candidates, and there will be more, are much younger and basically, with few distinctions, share the same ideas of higher taxes on the wealthy, more government spending. So they really don't need Bernie Sanders in order to advance their ideas. But we have a $22 trillion debt, Matt, in this country, $22 trillion. And there, people like Elizabeth Warren just came out today for free child care for everybody. Now, who's going to pay for that? She says, well, that'll happen because of a wealth tax. Well, everybody wants to tax the wealthy.
Not Donald Trump.
Limited amounts of money that they can tax. So what happens when they run out of tax money? What do they do then? They just borrow more and increase the debt.
Yeah, but hang on. The debt is expanding because of Donald Trump's tax cuts for the wealthy.
Well, no. The debt is expanding as it has before under previous presidents, including Bush 41 and Bush 43, because the Congress, which controls the purse strings, won't reduce spending. Reagan used to say we have a debt not because the American people are taxed too little, but because their government spends too much. Spending is the problem.
Okay, but Bernie Sanders, we played before the break, I don't know if you heard it, some of his campaign launch video today. An awful lot of the language is stuff that may actually appeal to Trump voters. It's all about giving the little guy a fairer break. It's because an awful lot of the people who voted for Trump certainly weren't wealthy. They did it because they felt he might be able to restore their jobs, better earnings. If he has failed to do so by the time the next election comes around, isn't it possible they'll say, well, the rich billionaire didn't do it, so let's give Sanders a chance to do it for us?
Restore jobs. Don't you know, Matt, that we have the lowest unemployment rate in history, especially among minorities, African Americans, Hispanic, and Asians? The economy is booming. The stock market was up 800 points on combined on Friday and Monday. It's up again slightly today. The economic optimism, the polls show, is higher than it's ever been. This is the typical Democrat litany. We're going to care for the little guy. Well, the little guys are being cared for more by a booming economy than relying on government.
What'd you say to that, Mary McKeown?
Can I just get in there? Cal, first off, I'm almost amused that you mentioned the $22 trillion debt and then in the same breath dismissed Donald Trump's $1 trillion tax break for corporations, which has contributed so much to that debt. The debt has soared in the 2 years of his presidency. This is not about the Democrats. This was under a Republican Congress with a Republican Senate, ticking all three Republican boxes that this absurd tax break came through. So really, I think that's either here or there. I agree with you on Bernie Sanders that really the other candidates now share so many of his views that his value as being offering something totally different has gone. Look, it's going to be what there are so many people running. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, Cal, if you announced you were running for the Democratic nomination. There are so many people running at the moment. There are dozens and dozens and dozens. We'll see who shakes out. But I think it is going to be somebody who's younger. I think it's going to be somebody who represents a new face. Americans have very, very little patience with seeing the same person over and over again. So I think it will be somebody from the new crop.
Okay. Last year on this program, James Comey, the former FBI boss, joined us on the program. He was replaced by Andrew McCabe, who didn't last too long. He's also written his own book. Here is part of his interview with CBS show 60 Minutes at the weekend, in which he recalled how Donald Trump decided to believe Vladimir Putin ahead of American intelligence agencies.
The president launched into several unrelated diatribes. One of those was commenting on the recent missile launches by the government of North Korea. And essentially, the president said he did not believe that the North Koreans had the capability to hit us here with ballistic missiles in the United States. And he did not believe that because President Putin had told him they did not. President Putin had told him that the North Koreans don't actually have those missiles.
And U.S. intelligence was telling the president what?
Intelligence officials in the briefing responded that that was not consistent with any of the intelligence our government possesses. To which the president replied, "I don't care. I believe Putin."
Carl Thomas, what do you make of that?
Well, Matt, a lot of these Obama holdovers in the Justice Department are saying and doing things because they believe that Trump was illegitimate. They've tried to undermine him from the beginning. They thought Hillary Clinton should have won, and that, in fact, she did win, except for the electoral vote. Too bad about the Constitution. Andrew McCabe is a noted liar. I wouldn't trust anything he says. It's only his word against what we haven't even heard the president and what the conversation was. So I don't take him seriously, along with these other people. From day one, whether it's McCabe or whether it's been Peter Strzok and his mistress, Lisa Page, or a whole list of other people, it's all been about collusion with the Russians, none of which has been proved. I doubt seriously whether the special counsel is going to come up with any of this. The real collusion and the real offense, frankly, is McCabe and the rest of them trying to undo the results of a legitimately elected president.
Barry McCone, it's all the rest of them who are the liars, not Trump, huh?
Very quickly, let's just weigh it up here, Cal. Now, as you say, Andrew McCabe was found to have misled, I believe, somebody in an investigation about a story he leaked to the Wall Street Journal, which was a damaging story to Hillary Clinton, by the way. Okay, Donald Trump has demonstrably lied on 8,000 plus occasions since he became president. So one misleading versus 8,000 lies, who are you going to believe? Okay, now I think that this is, the point here is this is so serious. This whole thing has been talked about by Trump and his cronies on Fox as, oh my God, a coup a coup, an attempt to remove a legitimately elected president. There is a provision in the Constitution, as you know, the 25th Amendment, by which you can remove an unfit president. Now, it's meant to be physically and mentally, in the case of a stroke, I assume, but certainly unfitness would qualify. You have to look at where they were standing. Trump came in, he fired Jim Comey because he was investigating something to do with possible Russian collusion. He then invites in the Russian spy master, Sergei Kislyak, and the foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, into the Oval Office the next day and boasts about how he fired his FBI director, who was a nut job and was putting pressure on him over Russia. So, you know, what would you think if you're the Deputy General of the FBI? You would think this president either has a screw loose or he's working for the Russians.
Okay.
Either way, it merits further investigation.
Okay, well, actually, let's just hear that. This is the same 60 Minutes interview in CBS. This is where McCabe recalled a conversation with the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, in which Rosenstein raised the possibility of invoking the 25th Amendment, allowing the Vice President and a majority of the Cabinet to remove Trump from office.
A discussion of the 25th Amendment was simply Rod raised the issue and discussed it with me in the context of thinking about how many other Cabinet officials might support such an effort. I didn't have much to contribute, to be perfectly honest, in that conversation, so I listened to what he had to say. But to be fair, it was an unbelievably stressful time. I can't even describe for you how many things must have been coursing through the Deputy Attorney General's mind at that point. So it was really something that he kind of threw out in a very frenzied, chaotic conversation about where we were and what we needed to do next.
What seemed to be coursing through the mind of the Deputy Attorney General was getting rid of the President of the United States.
Well,
one way or another.
I can't confirm that, but what I can say is the Deputy Attorney General was definitely very concerned about the president, about his capacity, and about his intent at that point in time. I mean, he was discussing other cabinet members and whether or not people would support such an idea, whether or not other cabinet members would shared his belief that the president was concerning Rod at that time.
Rosenstein was actually openly talking about whether there was a majority of the cabinet who would vote to remove the president.
That's correct. Counting votes or possible votes.
Did he assign specific votes to specific people?
No, not that I recall.
Of course, Rosenstein, who has been attacked by Donald Trump in tweets over the weekend, is still in his job as Deputy Attorney General. Of course, he goes, when is it? Next month, Marion.
That's right. He's leaving the middle of March. Now, he was always supposed to leave. He had said he would leave as soon as there was a new Attorney General installed. So, you know, I think it's probably, I mean, he's had an enormously stressful couple of years, I'd say. He's looking forward to leaving very much indeed. Look, this controversy is going to continue on. I suspect that the Mueller report will shed some light on this. Another section of the interview, I believe, Andy McCabe said that he had given all of the memorandums, the notes he took immediately after the conversations with Trump about North Korea and other things, to Robert Mueller. So I think it's probably all being very thoroughly investigated.
Okay. Marion McCone, Cal Thomas, as ever, thank you for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.